And what a good morning it is to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 32. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder what your greatest fear is. I wonder what you fear most in life. I wondered if it ranks with 3 of the top 10 in the United States of America which people fear the most. Arachnophobia is right up there. Yeah, the fear of spiders. Is it aerophobia? The fear of heights. Ooh. Or I wonder if it's tyrannophobia. You know what that one is? No. The fear of injections. The fear of being immunized. Which one of those is your fear? What is it that you fear most? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And today starts our 4-week series of Do Not Fear. You're going to see a lot of things over these next 4 weeks that will give you fear. Yeah, we have a whole theme park open and people go to pay to be in fear. I never understood that. But these next 4 weeks, we will go through some of the fears that we see in our Bibles. We'll be talking about ghosts. We'll be talking about dead men coming back to life. We'll be talking about people who have visions of bones being reconnected. And we'll be talking about these and how they create fear. Joking aside, all of us have our fears, amen? All of us have our concerns. Some of them are greater than others. Some of you have a fear about some of the decisions that you're going to make in your family in these next couple of weeks. Some of you have a fear of being around your family around Thanksgiving. Some of you have deep fear for your work situation at the moment, whether you're going to have work, whether you can really be around that person who is your boss, and the kind of anxiety that brings up inside of your life. Some of you have fear about finances and whether you can give and whether you can donate, whether you can actually provide for the kind of lifestyle you've been used to for most of your life. And these fears kind of have a grip on our life. We make decisions based on these fears. We look at our fears and think, well, this thing has a grip on me. This thing has possession of me. This thing is a part of me, and I have to make a decision about this fear. As a teenager, I had fear. I had a fear that other people were always judging me. I had a fear that everybody was looking at my clumsiness. I was very clumsy when I was a teenager, and I always worried and had fear of what my father was going to say to me and how he was going to judge me for some of the things I did. So much so, I developed my own vision and own dream. It was kind of a dream. It was kind of a nightmare that recurred when I was laying on the couch. And every time I laid on the black and white couch in the apartment that we grew up in, I would have this recurring dream stroke nightmare. We'd be in a cinema in the movie theater. And in the movie theater, where, don't forget, this is a dream, this is a vision. We'd be in a movie theater, and in the movie theater, there would be people I didn't like, or they didn't like me, and who I tried to impress. You have those people. And these people were in the movie theater, and they were watching the mistakes or the things or the clumsiness that I had. And each week, a British presenter would come on and be like, hey, this week, come and watch Keith Harcum as he falls down the stairs with the hot buckets. And everyone would laugh just like you did. Let's laugh at Keith kind of thing. And everybody, it was an old-fashioned smoky movie theater, and everyone would laugh and was like, come and see. And there'd be a billboard headline, come and see. In fact, this was not just a cinema, like one movie theater. This was like a multiplex. And each room could have reruns of previous mishaps and previous, clumsy mistakes that I made. And people would laugh at me. And I would worry about what was going to be placed on those screens next week. What was it about my life that people were going to laugh about? What was it about my life that I had to fear in order that my father would say something about it? You know, just a little dig. What was it this week that people were going to judge me about? And I lived in fear of this. And it had a tight grip on my life. And because of these fears, I made decisions based on these fears. The disciples had fear. They had real fear. They had fear that they were gonna drown in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And that was the scripture that was read to you today by Susan. The disciples had a real fear about waves and wind and imminent death on the Sea of Galilee in the boat. But before we get to that story, before we get to addressing the scripture, Jesus was in a bit of a turmoil himself. Jesus had heard that his cousin, John the Baptizer, had recently just been put to death by Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee, of the Sea of Galilee area. And he was sad. And so he got in the boat, and went across the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the lake. And on the other side of the lake, as you well know, was more people. 5,000 men, about 10,000 people, waiting to be taught and waiting to be fed. And of course, Jesus, gracious and full of mercy, as he always is, he fed them and taught them. And after feeding 5,000 men, 10,000 people, he was tired. And he said to the disciples, I need some time now. You know, you guys go away. I mean, I've tried to come over here and get some time, and now I haven't got any time, so I need it now. And this is where we pick up the text. If you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, if you've got it on your app, on your phone, open it and just type in Matthew chapter 14. If you're online watching, just open up another tab there. Matthew 14, we're going to pick it up at verse 22. It says, immediately after this, so immediately after feeding the 5,000, Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. And while he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. So Jesus, knowing what was going on, knowing that people would respond to this great miracle, and knowing that the authorities would want the disciples and him to be like the new leaders of a food program to make sure everybody was fed in the Galilean area, they wanted them to be politicians kind of thing. He urged his disciples out the way, out into a boat, to go quickly, get out of here. I'm going to the hills to pray. And it was late in the evening, because it takes a long time to feed 5,000 people, right? So it's late in the evening, and Jesus goes up into the mountains. So imagine the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee sits in a deep bowl like this. It's 700 feet below sea level. So as Jesus went up to the mountain, he can see the river, the Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Tiberias. He can see and look down and see what is happening. So he goes up on the mountainside to pray. After sending them, he went up into the hills to pray. Night fell. For some reason, the author of Matthew takes us back to the sea and just looks at what maybe he's looking at or what Jesus is looking at. And immediately he sees the disciples struggling in the storm. The waves are smashing the boat. The wind is howling around. Now, what you need to know is that normally the wind comes from the north in Galilee, and it gives us a nice flat sea. Should the wind move 90 degrees around to the east, it comes down the valley and digs up the sea. So there's a very instant storm. This is the storm the disciples were in. And they were scared, and they were living in fear. And they were fighting these heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Imagine the scene. Imagine the scene, if you will. You're a disciple. Jesus has let you go on the lake. You had this like great event where 5,000 people were healed. You broke the 12 loaves, five loaves and two fish, and you fed all these people. And this is great euphoria. You get in the boat and you're trying to chill out. And then all of a sudden, a massive storm comes. And the wind is blowing and howling around you. The waves are hitting the boat. The spray is coming everywhere. It's just euphoria. And then all of a sudden you see a man coming towards you. The boat's dipping like this with the waves. And all of a sudden you see a man come before you, standing on the waves. What the heck? It's a ghost. Now, this ghost that they say is not an evil spirit. It's not an angel. Angels are tall men, fearful men, especially Gabriel. In any book in the Bible, they are overwhelming figures. The word there that the disciples use to describe Jesus is phantasma, where we get our word phantom. It's a wispy apparition. It looks like Jesus is wispy. Of course it looks wispy, because all the mist off the waves is just like swirling around. And all there's a man just walking in front of them. The disciples are like, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost standing right there in front of us." And Jesus says to them, standing on the water, standing amidst all the wind and the mist and the fishing tackles flying everywhere as the boat rocks to and forth, and they see him 1 minute, they see him the next minute, don't see him 1 minute, and he says to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't have fear. Have no fear. Fear not. And what's the next word they say there? Just read it in your Bible. What's the next word he says? Take courage. I am here. In fact, it should be there. I am here. I am the I am, and I am here. I am God. It's the very words that Jesus was using in that were the same words that were used in the Old Testament or in the Tanakh that the Hebrews, the disciples, have been reading for a long time. It was the same words that God used when he said to Moses, I am. It's the same words he spoke when he said to Abraham, I am. It's the same words when he spoke to anybody in the Old Testament, I am, I am. I am the one who split the waters so that you could come through them. I am the one that controls the sea. I can turn the sea into ice immediately should I wish to and walk on it towards you. I don't care if it's waves crashing over the boat. I don't care if it's like slightly warm. I don't care if it's freezing cold. I can turn this water and walk towards you on your waves. I am. I am. Jesus walks towards them, walks them on the waves, walks them amidst all their fears. Then Peter called to him. Verse 28. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you and not some apparition and not some phantasm and not some ghost-like wispy creature, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, says Jesus. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Peter, the de facto leader of the disciples, the extrovert, the one who's like, yeah, I want to do that. This looks great. I want to join you on the waves. You imagine it's like a sea state eight. The waves are rocking to and forth. The boat's going everywhere. And he says, come towards me. Peter's like, woohoo. Steps on the water, starts to walk on the water. Steps on the waves. Steps amidst his fears. And all of a sudden, looks to the left, looks to the right, and sees the things he fears. He sees the wind. He sees the waves. He looks back to the boat, and the boat's like rocking like crazy, and the shackles are going everywhere. The blocks and tackles are going everywhere from the fishing. And he looks at it, and what happens? He begins to sink. I don't know about you, but of all the different bodies of water I've ever been on in my time in the Royal Navy, of all the different seas I've been in, of all the different oceans I have traveled, and all the different lakes I've been in, all the different rivers I've been in, and got out of a vessel, got out of a boat, got off a ship, every time I've stepped in the water, I've sunk. When I've ever stepped in the water, I've never begun to sink. I've never suddenly sunk down. I've always just immediately sunk. The scripture says, Peter began to sink as he looked at his fears. As he looked at his fears around him, as he looked at the worries and concerns of his day, as he considered his finances, as he considered his family, as he considered his work situation, is he going to follow Jesus? Is he going to go sue fishing? He looked at them around him, and he began to sink. He began to sink because of his fears. And when he saw the strong winds, when he saw the winds, when he seen the dip of the ocean, he realized that no matter what creative ability he had, he realized that no matter what great program he had, no matter what best practices he had in order to fix his situation, the only thing that he could say, the only thing that was left in his soul, the only thing that could even come out was what? Was, Lord, save me. He's sinking down. He's like, oh, I've got all this stuff around me. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything. I've tried all the programs. I've tried the Get Me Fixed Quick program. I've tried to fix my family by telling them what to do. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Do you hear me, Jesus? Lord, save me. What does Jesus do next? Jesus immediately, verse 30, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. First thing, three things happened here. In this one little verse, Jesus is standing on the waves. I'm not sure if he's going up and down. I'm not sure if he's going from left to right, but he's just standing on the waves. And the disciple who he spent the most time with, the disciple that he's developed a relationship with, is sinking in front of him. And the first thing that Jesus does is meets him exactly where he is. In and amongst his fears, he's not standing on the boat. He's not standing on some ship saying, come on up here. He's not standing in a different place in life. He is right on top of the wave in front of him. And he stops, grabs his hand. Says, Peter, you have so little faith. Peter, why did you not trust in me, Simon Peter? Now, these two things that Jesus says are not things that we put on Facebook feeds or Twitter feeds or Instagram feeds to make people feel bad about themselves or bad about their faith. These are words that are comforting to Simon Peter. These are words that are helpful to Simon Peter. He says to him, essentially he says to him, don't let your fears be stronger than your faith in me. Don't let all this stuff that's going on here have prominence over your trust in me. Jesus said, I am here with you and for you. I'm here for you in your life. Maybe as you approach this season, you have some fears. A popular thought in theology of following Jesus, a popular thought is that when you follow Jesus, when you decide to follow Christ, is that when you are a Christian or you're someone who calls yourself one, is that you will go from glory to glory to glory and everything will just be peachy, right? I was at a retreat 2 weeks ago, a conference, a revival sort of event. And one of the guys speaking there was Alan Hood. Alan Hood has been the assistant director to IHOP, not the pancake place, International House of Prayer. And he has been fundamental in organizing that entity so that people are praying 24/7, 365 days a year in those places. And he said last week, we often think that we go from glory to glory. Really good speaker, really dynamic. He said, go from glory to glory to glory. And he says, let's look at what Jesus did. Let's look at what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He faced his fears and he was persecuted. And then after being persecuted, he died on a cross. And then after being crossed, he was resurrected. And this is the kind of lifestyle that Jesus had and indeed the disciples had. He says, we'll never go from glory to glory to glory all the time like we're on this glory train. We must face our fears. What fears are you going through today? Are they fears about where your next job is going to be? are they fears about your family and what's going to happen in one of your family members' lives? Is it a fear of finances, whether you're going to be able to afford the lifestyle you have, where you're going to be able to just afford what's coming next? We always think that we're going to find some new ground with Jesus. We always think that we're going to find a new ground, a new place to live at, when actually, Jesus wants us to go underground. He wants us to begin to understand our fears. And when we begin to understand our fears, he brings us to new ground. He brings us to new ground or new places where we are able to trust in him more. Amen? We want to be able to trust Jesus with our fears. I mean, this is more than spiders. This is more than injections. This is more than any kind of height. This is our deep fears. Deep fears of people judging us and putting it on screens. And even when we've been through all our strategy, if we've been through all our creativity, our best practices, and they've all gone wrong. Peter was at this moment. Everything he tried to do had not worked. And he's sinking. And once he grabbed hold of Jesus, he got back in the boat. And what does the scripture say? It was calm. The wind moved from the east round to the north, and it was calm again. It was calm. I am not going to promise you a peachy life if you're following Jesus. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to say to you that life is going to be glory to glory to glory. But I know the author of glory. I know that Jesus meets us in our fears. And maybe you've tried everything. Maybe you've tried all of your creative ability. Maybe you've tried all the programs. Maybe you've done all the self-help books. I want to tell you something today. I want to give you permission to do something. If you've gone through all that and you've gone through all your fears, you've gone through all the waves, you've gone through the spray, I want you to look to the ghost that is standing on the water. I want you to look to the ghost that's standing on the water and standing amidst your fears and say, Lord, save me. I want you to look to him and say, I can't do anything else. Lord, save me. Jesus, there is nothing else I can do. Lord, save me. And cry out to Jesus in your fears today. Wherever you are in life, whatever you are going through, I guarantee you, Jesus will meet you in your fears. He will calm it a little bit. I want to encourage you, cry out to Jesus, and he will meet you in your fears. Amen. Gracious God, we come before you with our fears. We come before you with our pains and our anxiety. We come before you with these silly games that we play inside our head. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would meet us there. We ask, Lord God, that you would meet us in our places of pain that have purchase and prominence in our life. We ask, Lord, that we would be so humble, that we would be so able to just reach out to you like Simon Peter and say, Lord, save me. Speak to us today and guide us in all we do. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Will you please stand? Is God greater than our fear? Our God is greater.